If you're not wearing green, you risk being pinched this St. Patrick's Day. But writer Jackson Brader shares a childhood memory of a St. Patrick's Day in Dublin where being pinched was the least of his worries.
St. Patrick's Day in Dublin. One of those so-called soft Irish days that remind you the place is so green because the sky is so gray. That morning in 1965, I was ordered to Smith's on the Green to take my place in the St. Patrick's Day parade. The headmaster of St. Conwy's College chose me for this task. I don't know why. Still, Corny, that's what we called him, was known for his strange sense of humor. Trust him to send a Yank Protestant, one of two in the school, the other was my brother, out on a religious holiday. Now, for Americans weaned on the jolly cops of New York, Dublin's St. Patrick's Day parade was surprising. There were no bands, no pipes and drums. In fact, no parade, really. On an array of flatbed lorries, produce vans, and delivery trucks, youths from around the city presented moments from the life of St. Patrick. Here he was casting the snakes out of Ireland. There he was undergoing divine revelation. On our produce van, Patrick was baptizing the daughters of the High King. There were four of us. I was a fifth former, what an American would call a fifth grader, with a shock of white blonde hair. The other boy was the kind of prig born to be head boy, the ultimate teacher's pet. Never introduced, I call him Declan, tallish and vaguely pale, with a dirty great hooter of a nose. As for the girls, no introduction there either. The role assignments were obvious. The girls were the king's daughters. I, in a stylish teal-green tunic, was St. Patrick's acolyte. And you could tell Declan was the saint because he got to wear the bishop's mitre. Now, the mitre presented a bit of a problem, because the open-sided van we were riding in had a roof. Because his height and the added height of the mitre, Declan had to hunker down to move on the truck bed. Further, we'd had no stage direction, so Declan told us what to do. As the girls knelt before him, I would lift my arms in supplication to the roof, and Declan would offer the girls his blessing. This we would repeat as the van rumbled through city center. With each presentation, Declan seemed to grow into his role as St. Patrick. His gestures became more dramatic, his benediction more expansive. Then, during the fifth or sixth rendition of the piece, Declan's hat hit the roof. The girls were going into the kneel. I was lifting my arms, looking up when the mitre caught an edge, fell backward, and hit me in the eye. The girls went, "Ooh!" And Declan turned to see what I had done. Typical. He was from Belvedere, one of the big schools in town. In religious knowledge at St. Conlett's, we'd learned the lives of the saints were rife with tribulations. Now, because Saint Declan was incapable of error, it must have all been my fault. Corny would have his joke, putting Yank in a place where Yank should never have been. And people wonder why I'm jaded with the wearing of the green.
Jackson Brader is a writer living in Alston, Massachusetts.